It was a great week. It was a great VBS. We had great staff. We had great kids. We were all blessed. And everyone was a part of it. I really can't thank everybody enough, so I won't try, but it brought two nations and one mission together. In ways that only God can do. Only God can unite us the way he does. And that's, I'm so sure I'm going to forget things before I preach. I packed two of everything. So I'll use these. So the title of what I'm going to speak about today is Uniquely United. And it speaks a lot of what we witnessed this week, and what we witnessed in the year leading up to this week. It's from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6, but I'm actually going to start in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31, if you could turn there in your Bibles. Ask for mercy if you need it to do. I'll give you a minute to get there. I'll try to stick to my notes today, so I cut the dude's three-hour sermon in half at least. We're going to start 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31. It talks about unity and diversity in the body. And I'll start. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together. I'm just going to read that again. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what we've seen before our eyes this week. We thank you for what is yet to come. We thank you for the parts of the body that you've assembled here to do your work. We thank you and praise you for it. We thank you for your word, Lord, and its lessons to us in life, how it guides us, Lord, illuminates our path. Be with us this day, Father. Be with me as I speak, Lord, and if anything I'm going to speak is unpleasing to you, I pray that you strike it from my lips before it comes out. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:12-31. It's a part of Scripture where Paul's discussing unity and diversity within the body of Christ. In these verses, Paul is comparing the church, the universal church, some people call it the unseen church, to a body. It's made up of many parts, but united by the baptism of one Spirit. It says, whether Jew or Gentile, slaves or free, verse 13. He goes on in verses 15-17 to explain that whatever the gifts we've received, we are equally a part of the body. And then he makes a statement that's really, in my opinion, a very key statement, the key statement. Verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. We are not our own. We are his. Have you ever thought that your gifts were not as exciting as someone else's? Be honest. Have you ever wished for a gift other than you've received from the Lord? Have you ever wished that you could be just like you fill in the blank, fill in the name? Have you ever wondered if your gift is doing any good to further the work of the kingdom of God? Have you ever wondered if you have a gift? I'm not talking about underutilized gifts or gifts that are not used at all. These verses clearly state that we've all been given at least one gift. If you are in Christ, if Christ is in you, then you've been given a gift, period. In fact, I know some of you will be thinking in a few minutes, I know what my gift, Peter's gift, is not. That's the gift of preaching. That's okay. It's okay. But what are we to do with our gifts? It's really not what my message is about today, but it does lead to that question, what we've talked about. And I just invite you to refer to the parable of the talents in Luke 19, verses 11-27. John preached on it a few weeks ago. You can listen to that sermon. And just in case you don't, let me just say that as you're faithful to invest and grow what the Master has entrusted you, so the gifts you have been given will increase, and also your responsibility to use them. But if you bury what the Lord has given you, what he's entrusted to you through the Spirit, then you've wasted the opportunity that the Lord has given you. Will you be faithful with what the Lord has given you? So we just looked in 1 Corinthians as an introduction to what I really want to speak about today, and that is the body of Christ in Ephesians 4, verses 1-6. So if you can turn there now, we'll read together. Ephesians 4, verses 1-6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The first three chapters of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is teaching the Ephesians and us to better understand the dimensions of God's eternal purpose and grace, that we're made alive in Christ, that Jews and Gentiles are reconciled through Christ, In chapter 4, he begins by speaking of the unity that's to be found in all believers. The first three verses give us some practical advice to live a life worthy of the calling that we, all believers, have received. Verse 2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Humility is a requirement for harmony. So if we're to live in harmony as a body of Christ, humility is a prerequisite. We live in a society where we want to put our own needs first. We live in a culture of me first. What about me? What is there for me? The church is counter to that culture. The church is, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? Pastor John, through the years, has said many times, our faith is not a race to the top, it's a race to the bottom. Humble service. How can I serve you? Verse 3 says, make every effort, some versions say be eager, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Is Christ in you? Are you in Christ? I'm not asking if you attend a church, a visible church, a building like this. I'm not asking if you would check the box marked Christian on a survey. I'm asking you if Christ is in you. Back in chapter 1, Paul tells us in verse 4 that we're chosen in Christ before the creation of the world. In chapter 7, he states that in him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And there are many other verses where Paul talks about being in Christ. Are you in Christ? If you are in Christ, and I pray that you are, verses 4 to 7 explain what it means to be one. 7 times Paul uses the word one. And in any Bible study, one of the first things you learn is that repetition of a word signifies importance. And Paul can't be any more clear in his writing here that we're to be called as one body. Verses 4 say, one body, one spirit, one hope. These verses are verses of the Trinity. Verse 4 is the Spirit. Verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It refers to the Son, one Lord. And verse 6, one God and Father of all. So we have the Trinity there, the Spirit, the Son, and the Father. All followers of Jesus Christ share in this oneness. Today I just wanted to talk briefly about the first one in verse 4, one body, or one church. There is only one body and one church because there's only one Spirit. In fact, if you remove any of these ones from the 7, our faith collapses and really makes no sense. They can only be put all together in one package, these 7. And the body, the invisible church, the greater church, is united in all of these attributes. And it has been since the creation of the church that we see in the book of Acts. And think about this. Every believer, since the creation of the body, has been part of the same body, the same church. So you and I belong to the same church as Paul. The same church, the same body as Timothy. The same body as Martin Luther. The same body as Billy Graham. The same body as Abusa Daniel in Gogo Village in Malawi. The same body as Sophie and Aksa and Luca. And every other follower of Jesus Christ who has ever lived and is yet to come until the time of Christ's return. We're all one body. Yes, we all belong to small congregations. That's how we gather and meet. Small churches like this gathered around the globe or mega churches in other parts of the country and the world. The visible body. But that's not the body Paul's talking to. That's not the body Paul's talking about. He's talking about the body, the church, capital C. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is clearly stating that we're all placed exactly where God the Father has chosen us to be. Have you ever been envious of another church? Small c. I have. And I'm not proud of it. But I have. Sometimes we say, why is that church growing so fast? Why does that church have the big choir? Why do they go on so many missions trips? You fill in the blank. There are many reasons that we're envious and jealous of other churches. But this should not be. It is wrong. There's no way around it. Should we keep looking to our neighbor to see what he or she has, or should we think about the work the Father has given us? Should we rejoice with other churches that preach the word and grow, that have true hearts of humility, compassion, and people receive it? And if we're part of a body, small c, that's dwindling, maybe we need to look at ourselves. Are we humble? Are we loving? Are we kind? Are we compassionate? Do we talk to our neighbors? Do we listen? Are we good listeners? When someone shares a grievance, a problem, a concern, do we throw them a few verses of scripture and walk away? Do we put our arm around them? Pray for them. Weep with them. Think of your own body, your physical body. And we think about our gifts. When you walk up to the refrigerator and open it to grab an apple, something healthy, do you think your foot is concerned with what your hand is doing, grabbing that apple? Or is your foot's concern with keeping you balanced and giving you motion? Not that your foot doesn't benefit from the work of the hand in grabbing the apple, and the work of the teeth in chewing the apple, or the work of the tongue in swallowing the apple, or the work of the digestive tract in breaking down the apple. Hopefully you get my point. The hand may receive the praise because it did the visible work of retrieving the apple from the shelf. But the unseen, the rest of the body, rejoices in that fact and benefits from it. And so it is with the body of Christ, the church, capital C. And we've had the privilege this week of living this out, to see a real demonstration right in front of our eyes. Not just to watch the movie, be a part of the movie. It was demonstrated in our VBS program. It was demonstrated last night in Brazil Night, in Dryam, in worship. We'll see it this week in the teen event at the Providence Rescue Mission. Every member of the body of Christ in Brazil or Malawi or here in the United States who has prayed for this mission has played a vital role. And I know there are people in other places of the world that prayed for that, but I know specifically there are many believers in Brazil praying for us right now as we speak. That the church in Gogo Village has been in prayer for this VBS, and so many of us have as well. everyone who has encouraged a Brazilian staff member to take this trip, to make this trip, with financial support or just an encouraging word, has played a vital role in this mission. Everyone who has cooked or served or swept the floor has been an integral part of this team. Everyone who has shown hospitality towards a brother and sister in Christ with food or housing has performed an essential task. Every parent who entrusted us with their child has been vital. Please don't diminish the role that the Lord has given you. I want to say that again. Please do not diminish the role the Lord has given you. He asked you to do a work. And if you were obedient and did this work with joy and love and perseverance, even when you might have been exhausted and wanted to quit, then the Lord is pleased with you. So please don't deny that. On the other hand, if the Lord gave you an opportunity to serve and you turned away, then that chance to serve is lost and gone forever. But do not lose heart, because our God is a God of second chances. And even in this room right now, today, he'll give you the chance to serve someone else and respond to his call. Don't dwell on what you've not done in your life. Seek the Lord's will for you and be faithful. That's what he calls us to do. We are ordinary people. Some of us are much less than ordinary. And God can use us. This book, this Bible, from beginning to end is full of ordinary people, less than ordinary people, not nice people, whose lives were transformed and God used. People who served sometimes with fear, but they served. This VBS program is a calling, really was a calling. Calling to reach the children and families of this community. And I've told people before, Brazilians, as elders, we've prayed for a long time to get people to set foot on this property. And our Brazilian staff may think that this VBS was not a big deal because they don't know our culture and our community. But we have prayed a long time to get people to set foot on this property. And this church body, this church building, this property was full of life this week. Children and their parents came. Children saw the love and hope of Christ in the hearts and minds and words of every individual they greeted here. Children from various backgrounds. Children who come from various conditions at home were loved. Children who were a challenge that some of us said, can they make it through the week, or should we say, maybe not? We persevered, and those children thrived. Thank God he caused us to make that decision. Jesus never said, don't let the children come to me. Only the well-behaved. We always have this vision, and there are pictures of Christ calling the children, and they're sitting quietly on his lap. It's a bunch of bunk. Those aren't real children. But he called them. As he called you and he called me. So God called you for this mission. And you responded. I know that some of you were discouraged based on conversations because you didn't think you did enough. You didn't think you did your job well. You may not have thought that you could communicate well. You may have had second thoughts and say, maybe this was a mistake. I didn't see a child in my group whose life I could say turned around and came to know the Lord. Don't do the Lord's work. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. He called you, you came, you served with love. That's what he asked you to do. That's what you did. You gave them an opportunity to experience what it is to be part of the greater church. An opportunity that many of them have never had before. And we pray that they return next year. I pray that this is a program that can continue. When we showed that video at the closing ceremony, I stood in the back and cried and just said, God, what if we can't do this again? I just have to trust him. I know I have to trust him. It's not easy sometimes to let go and let God. Never really liked that, but I guess it's very fitting here. He's brought a team 7,000 miles. Only God can do these things, people. I mean, only God can do these things. And that's the great part of this. Is you share this story with other people, non-believers, and they don't quite get it. It's like our Malawi story. And it gives you the opportunity to share the power of God and what he's capable of. And what he allows us, he offers us, he wants us to be a part of. It's really neat. So God called you, you came, and I just want to tell you, God doesn't make mistakes. So if you're thinking or wondering or concerned with if you made the right decision, I'm here to tell you you did. We are the body. We are the church. And what does it mean to be part of this body? To come together. We've all experienced it. I've experienced, Diane has experienced so much in the last few years. And so have you. How is it possible for a young college girl from Brazil to travel 7,000 miles to serve the Lord and say she feels completely at home here with her host mom and with the church as a whole? I mean, that's what Julia said to Di the other night. I feel completely at home here. How is that possible? How is it possible for a middle-aged couple, which means I'll live to 110 if the Lord so chooses, to travel 8,000 miles to a little African country called Malawi by themselves and get off a plane and feel completely at home? How is it possible that when their van breaks down in the bush and no one knows what a wrench is, and that man thinks, I'm just a tiny speck on this huge globe and only God knows where my wife and I are. And to have no fear at all. Not because we're brave, because we're really not. Just because we know that the Lord holds that world in his hand. And the only thing of significance at that moment is that he knows where we are. And he's put Malawian brothers and sisters in Christ who may not know how to fix a van, but know how to love and encourage and pray and pray and sing spiritual songs to remove all fear and doubt. How is that possible? How is it possible for a group of people to come 7,000 miles and take a man who needs prayer out back and circle around him and lay hands on him and pray for him and weep with him and sing for him Remember what it said in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. If you're in Christ and he's in you, then you are a part of this body. If you don't know him as your Savior, I pray that today be the day that you put your faith and trust in Christ today. If you don't know Christ and you're here, he brought you here. There's a reason you're here. This isn't random chance. Even if you came because your child went to VBS and wanted to come here today, Christ brought you here for a reason. Today may be the day, and we pray that today is the day. If you want to know more about what it means to know Christ, I invite you to talk to me after, or Pastor John, any of the Brazilian staff. So many people around you. We pray that today is today, the day, and that today you experience his love and mercy and grace and become a part of this body. The title of this sermon is Uniquely United, because in Corinthians, Paul talks about all of our uniqueness, our unique gifts. No two people have ever been created the same. No two people look completely alike, even twins. Yet we're united, part of the same body. Only God can do that. I don't want to use the word organization because it's just very unfitting, but I couldn't think of anything else. But there's no greater, more diverse organization, forgive me for the use of that word, in the world than the body of Christ. Yet we're very often labeled as being exclusive, exclusionary. You're not in that group. In a world that cries out for diversity, I pray that that world opens its eyes and sees that there's no other group of people ever has been together, is together, or will be together as diverse as the body of Christ. Every language, every tongue, every color, every creed, from every corner of the earth is one body. There is nowhere else you can see that. And that is only possible through the work of Jesus Christ, his Father, and the Spirit. What could be more inclusionary than this statement, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's a simple statement. Our faith isn't complicated. We make it complicated sometimes. We are uniquely united. I ask that you be blessed today, that you experience God's blessings as I have and every other believer has. This morning, Flavio will lead us in communion the way they do in his church in Caxias. And just be reminded that we may have culturally different ways that we do things. In Malawi and other parts of the country, as I told you, in their corporate prayer, everyone prays together at the same time out loud. And the first time you hear it, it sounds like chaos. It's not how we do things. It's not how we do things in this small C, this church. The more I thought about it, the cooler it was. And I think it might have been Willie said to me yesterday, that's how it is for God. He's hearing these prayers. People all over the world are praying at the same time. You know, he doesn't say take a number, get in line. So we may do things differently, but we worship the same God. We're saved by the same Son. We have hope through the resurrection and how Christ overcame the grave. We're united in all of these things. We are one body, and we really need to start thinking about it that way. We're not just the First Baptist Church in Narragansett. We're not the American, North American, excuse me, guys. Church, we are all part of the body. So give somebody a hug and an encouraging word today, whether it's your neighbor or someone from a far away. They'll start to travel home soon, some today, some tomorrow. Don't waste this opportunity to tell them you love them and appreciate them and that you will be praying for them. And if you tell them you're going to be praying for them, you pray for them. We don't need any idle words here. Let me just close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for answered prayer. I thank you for building this body. I thank you for the opportunities that you give us to serve you, Lord, and the blessing and the joy that it brings when we do it with loving and open hearts. I thank you for every single person who supported in any way from any continent the work that went on here this week. And we know it was for your purpose, Lord. And we know that lives will be changed by it. And we may never know who those individuals are or when it made an impact in their life, but we know it will. We know that you don't make mistakes, Lord. That you put every one of us where you want us and you call us to serve. And when we come together and serve, great things happen. In your name, to give you the glory, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.